First, the text of the fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Then over to Isaiah chapter 58, in which the Lord is confronting the outward keeping of certain rituals and ceremonies, and God calling his people back to a true spiritual heart oriented and God-centered observance of these things. These two verses, the last two verses of this chapter pertaining to the Sabbath, Isaiah 53:13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Blessed be the name of our God. Amen. Please be seated. I suppose in some of our churches these days, if you're preaching on the commandments, you get to this one and you might as well just skip it. In the little book that we use in our communicants classes called, Confessing Christ, the author of that book, when he's talking about God's law, says about this commandment, "This commandment is probably the most widely disobeyed by Christians today," end quote. Now, I don't know that I would say that that's the most widely disobeyed. I think the first commandment, which has to do with idolatry, is probably the first commandment most widely disobeyed. But I think what he means by this statement is that this is probably the most self-consciously widely disobeyed commandment by Christians today, because we just don't quite buy in to what this commandment says, that there is to be one day in seven set aside for the worship of God. Well, you know, this commandment is a very significant commandment in the history of redemption. When you read in the Old Testament of the, for instance, God's sending into captivity his people to Babylon, while there are many issues involved, and the fundamental issue is idolatry, the second issue that's singled out among others, but the one that's repeated again and again, is the failure of our forefathers to keep Sabbath with the Lord, the Sabbath of the land and the Sabbath of the day. The reason for that is that Sabbath keeping and the fourth commandment is viewed by our Lord as a barometer of religious life, and in particular, covenant faithfulness. Listen, for instance, to what Moses records in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." The Lord's Day is a sign of whether or not we truly do know the Lord, who sustains us, who sanctifies us, and who saves us. And when the Lord's Day and the fourth commandment wane in our in our commitment and our observance, you can pretty well figure that that is a barometer of where the life and commitment of God's people are. As we study this commandment today, it's my prayer that among God's people in our day, and not just our church, but among God's people, that there would be a recovery of this commandment. That there really would be 10 commandments that we know the Lord has given us. Because if that is true, and it's done in the way God intends, through Christ, and a lively faith in Christ, that will be a barometer of health and vigor and covenant faithfulness in the church of our day. And as we look at this commandment, this is the point that I want to make, and it's in the sermon outline, that while the fourth commandment is a part of the moral law, it is one of the 10 commandments that is binding upon the New Testament church. While it is part of the moral law and binding upon the New Testament church, it is not intended by the Lord as a straitjacket to kind of bind us and restrict us and say, no, you can't do that. No. It is given by Him as a gracious provision to encourage us to delight in living our lives for the glory and worship of our God. That's what God intends the Sabbath to be. And why, of course, I read the short passage from Isaiah 58, that we would delight in the Lord's day. These are the four major points that I want to look at with you today. First, as we've sought to do in looking at each of the commandments, to look at the main point or focus of the commandment. Secondly, to look at the commandment itself and the what, how, and why of the text of the commandment. Then look at the teaching of the Bible as to why we celebrate the first day of the week and not the seventh. And then a few applications for 21st century Christians. Now, the first point I want to make is one I've tried to make as we've looked at each of the previous commandments, to try to get a handle on the main focus of each of the commandments. And the fourth commandment in particular is given to regulate the use of our time to bring God glory by working, worshiping, and resting in Him in our time. Each of the commandments, as we've seen, has a main focus. The first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," has to do with the object of our worship, God and no other. And it's the commandment that really has to do with teaching against idolatry and to worship the true and living God. The second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above," and so forth, regulates the manner of our worship, that we only worship God according to how He has commanded us to worship in the Scriptures. We don't make up God on our own. The third commandment, which has to do with not taking the name of the Lord in vain, has to do with the attitude of our worship, to regard God and everything about Him with reverence. It's kind of akin to how the Lord teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." And God's name stands for everything that He is and reveals and everything about Him. But the fourth commandment has to do with our time, the time of our work and our worship. And you notice the commandment speaks of all 7 days of the week, 6 days of labor, 1 day of worship. And what that represents is that all that time, which is that one resource that we have that is completely unrenewable, most precious resource that we have, all of it, our work, our leisure, our worship, all is to be ordered around God and His worship. Why is that? Because of the central purpose for which God has made us. God, the assumption running through these commandments, and as I've talked about the object of each other, has to do with our raison d'etre. Nice French phrase. Had to look that up. Okay. The reason for our existence. Why did God place us here on this earth? For worship. For glory. That is central to what it means to be human. To be created by the God of all glory to live for His glory. To acknowledge that glory. To offer ourselves up for His glory. In short, to worship Him. I was amused in reading a wonderful little book, A Neglected Grace, a new book by Jason Palopoulos that has to do with encouraging family worship. He was in a video store and he was going to buy a video game for a family member. And he overheard one of the employees who was talking about this brand new game. And he said, "I can hardly wait to get home to play this new game because," quote, the employee said, "I believe I was put on earth to play this game." Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I like to play video games once in a while. I don't play the very sophisticated ones. I mean, a solitaire is about as sophisticated as I get. But as Palopoulos says, and I agree with him, there has to be something more to life than squashing mushrooms and freeing Prince's toadstool. If we weren't created for video games, then what were we created for? There is nothing more crucial for our understanding of life than the fact that we were created by God to worship Him. This is at the very heart of what it means to be human. And you see, that's what the fourth commandment reminds us of. It's a sign of us getting that idea that God, who has entered into a covenant with His people to be our God, and calls us to be His people, that we understand that we are His people, and that we trust Him to sustain us, to sanctify us, and to save us, and that He is to be central to everything, and that ought to be reflected then in how we use our time and how we order the priorities of our week. As God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 20, "I gave them my statutes and made known to them my rules by which if a person does them, he shall live. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them that I might know that I am the Lord that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." You see, that's the purpose of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment. To regulate our time, to drill into us, and to draw from us the centrality of God in all areas of our lives. Now specifically, this commandment instructs us with a what, a how, and a why in terms of the Sabbath day. The what of it is this, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the Hebrew word translated with the English word remember, very similar in meaning. And we know that that remembering can have two basic meanings. One is simply to recall something. Ah, I remembered where I left my watch. To recall where we put something. The Lord, if you recall, had previously taught His people to observe the Sabbath in the context of the manna. Remember that? And how God's people were to gather the manna in the days of the wilderness for 6 days out of seven. And if they would try to gather more than they needed and keep it, remember what would happen to it? It would rot and worms would eat it. But a remarkable thing happened on the sixth day. On the sixth day, they could gather twice as much as they needed for a day, and they could cook and prepare all of it, and it would keep. It wouldn't rot. And so that they wouldn't have to gather anything on the seventh day. And this is what Moses said to them about that. This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. They, in other words, and we in the fourth commandment are reminded, not just once, but we are to recall every week to remember to worship and serve the Lord and to have a pattern of rest, of work, and rest and holy worship. And that's important because you know as well as I do that we are prone to forget our Creator and Redeemer. You know how busy we can get and how we can go through hours and sometimes even days and give very little thought, real thought, to the one who made us and saved us. And so one of the purposes of the commandment is to remind us not to let the world crowd him out. Crowd out praising and glorifying the Lord for making and saving us. So the fourth commandment is a reminder to give God glory for his grace and mercy. But there's a second meaning to the word remember. Not only to recall something, but to remember in terms of keeping it in mind. It's like, okay, guys, it's like you remembering your anniversary, your wedding anniversary, right? That isn't something you should just recall. It's something you should really keep in mind and get ready for, like some flowers and maybe candy, sugarless if you need to, what have you, in the dinner. You keep that in mind. You don't even get embarrassed by your wife. And that's the force of the verb here. The Lord demands the total engagement of our whole person in the service of God. All our time, all of it is to reflect the fact that we exist for His glory. We are to self-consciously offer up to Him all areas of our lives. And that's why this commandment speaks of 6 days and one. It isn't that we just once remember the Lord, but that the Lord's day is, and this commandment is there to remind us that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the what of God? Glory of God. As Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or translated in another way, your rational service. The only way for someone who has knows God, who has made us and who has saved us, the only way rationally to live and to use our time is to offer our whole lives up as living sacrifices to God. So in particular, we are to keep in mind our great and glorious Creator and Redeemer by keeping the Sabbath holy. That is, by setting apart, by consecrating a special day, 1 and 7, in order to self-consciously reflect upon and show our love for the God who made us, sustains us, sanctifies us, and saves us. How are we to do this? Well, the passage says two things. Work 6 days a week, cease from work, and worship/rest 1 day per week. Kind of surprising. We often overlook this, that the fourth commandment first says that we are to work to the glory of God. And that's an important sort of thing. I go to the bank, the local bank here frequently because not only personally, but I take care of my mom's accounts, I take care of my son's business, make deposits for the church. They see me a lot. When they see me toward the end of the week, invariably I hear, well, have a good weekend, And the person is saying this almost looking at their watch, counting down to the time they can get away from work and live. Because we tend to look upon work as a curse. But that isn't the way the Bible looks at work. Work is not a curse, a necessary evil, something we do to get money so that we can go have fun. It has to do with being made in the image of God. It is a gift, a provision of God that was given before the fall, part of what it means to be made in His image. We read in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. If work is a curse, then God is cursed, because God works. He is always working. If He weren't working, we wouldn't exist. He rested from the work of the creation, but entered into the work of providence and the work of salvation. The curse of work is due to sin after Adam fell. The ground was cursed because of sin. Thorns and thistles were brought forth. There was opposition, and it's by the sweat of our faith that we were made to eat our bread. But working in and of itself is how we fulfill what it means to be made in God's image. And while this is another subject in itself, I just encourage you to think about that God's people are called to work for His glory. And I love the way, I won't read this quote, it just takes a little too long, but reflect on the reformational understanding of vocation, of understanding that whether it is the poor peasants or the princely, the prince or the minister, that all are callings in which we can serve God. So this commandment upholds a high view of labor and calling, but it also has to do with ceasing from work in order to worship and rest one day in seven. The word Sabbath in and of itself means to cease. So the fourth commandment calls us to set aside a day for rest and worship. And as many have pointed out, when you read this commandment, it does not read, remember the Sabbath hour to keep it holy. It is a day that the Lord calls to set aside for worship and rest. Now, part of this has to do, of course, clearly with God's intent to graciously give us and those who work with us and for us, even our animals, even machinery, rest. We need rest. It is a gracious provision of God. I remember the days working in at Boeing aircraft when a lot of work was to be had, and people would work overtime 7 days a week. Fellows coming home from work in their car after a 12-hour shift and park their car in the driveway and fall asleep and not be able to get into their home. They were so tired. We need rest. And God intends us to rest. But you notice that the Sabbath is not merely for us to rest. But the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. It is a day set aside by Him, a day, as it's put in Leviticus 23:3, for holy convocation. The Sabbath is intended as a rest from work and restoration in and unto the Lord. It is a day for gathering with the saints, for worshiping, for celebrating. It's a festive day, a wonderful day in which, by God's grace, we're set free from the rat race to gather with His people and relax and be restored in the glories and the verities of the gospel. As Heidelberg 103 puts it, what does God require in the fourth commandment? I diligently intend the church of God to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Or as question 60 of our own catechism puts it, the day is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from other such worldly employments and recreations that are lawful in other days, and to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, and so on. Jesus observed the Sabbath. That was his custom. We read in Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. We Presbyterians are inheritors of the Puritans' thought on this subject. And the Puritans called this day the market day of the soul. I love that. The market day of the soul. 6 days are for ordinary business, but they saw the Lord's day as a holy day set aside and devoted to transact our spiritual business, to trade in the currency of heaven. The Puritan commentator Thomas Watson said of it, "This day a Christian is in the altitudes. He walks with God and takes, as it were, a turn with him in heaven. We meet with God by prayer and the ministry of the word, by singing his praises, presenting our offerings, celebrating the sacraments, sharing in Christian fellowship, and the result, according to Thomas Watson, is this. The heart, which all week is frozen, on the Sabbath melts with the word of God." And how true that is. How true that is. Why do we do this? Because, according to the commandment, this is the pattern that God has established himself. Exodus 20:11 gives us one of the reasons. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." This is a reference to Genesis chapter 2, where we read in the second and third verses, "On the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. It's not something of the Mosaic ritual law. It's based upon the pattern of work and rest, and it's rooted in the blessing, the great and abounding and abiding blessing of reflecting on the goodness of God who has made us and keeps us. He gives us the Sabbath day to get a breath, to rest and be refreshed, and to remember him. And as the command is repeated in Deuteronomy 5, it's done so with a different twist. It gives us a second reason. Deuteronomy 5:15, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." In other words, the second reason for observing the fourth commandment is because of Christ and the salvation that he has wrought on our behalf. The Exodus is a picture of redemption, of salvation of Christ, saving us from the bondage of sin, being with us and guiding us in the pilgrimage through the wilderness of this world to take us to the land of promise, heaven itself. So that on this day, we gather to look back to creation and remember God who made us. But since the fall and the coming of Christ, we celebrate the new world, the new life, the new recreation that is in Christ, because it is on this day that the Lord was raised from the dead. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, we read in Matthew 28, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he has said.'" And so we look forward to all that resurrection that Christ purchased for us has in store. We look forward to the eternal rest, to the restoration of all that is in this recreation of the new heavens and the new earth. As Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 puts it, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. So that the Sabbath day is especially a holy day for God's redeemed people when they celebrate all that there is in Christ and all that we have to look forward to. The already and the not yet. The taste of heaven and driving a stake in each and every week. He is our God. He sustains me. He is sanctifying me. And he will finish that work because he has saved me in Christ. Well, of course, we now gather on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ has come. Many reject the fourth commandment because they view it as part of the old covenant ceremonial law and look to a verse like Colossians 2, 16 and 17, which does speak about the Sabbath as something that is a shadow. And it is the Old Testament Sabbath. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Yes. The seventh day of the week, we no longer gather to worship, because Christ, who was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, has fulfilled all the things that were foreshadowed in the Old Testament types and forms. But we gather on the first day of the week because he has fulfilled those things and even the blessings of the fourth commandment. Our particular catechism, I think, is particularly helpful at this point. It gets the essence of this. If you look at the back of the sermon outline in question 58, it asks, what is required in the fourth commandment? And this is what the Puritans understood, that a lot of people miss. Even Calvin missed this a bit. That the fourth commandment in and of itself does not have ceremonial elements. It has a principle of working 6 days and worshiping one. That's the principle in the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. And I didn't print it, but question 59 goes on to ask, which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath. And of course, the command was given in that context. But then it goes on to say, on the first day of the week ever since, to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. And we see this clearly in the New Testament. There isn't a change from the one day and seven. The change is from gathering on the seventh day to the first day. In Acts 20, verse 7, for instance, when Paul is preaching that infamous sermon in Troas, the one that went on so long that Eutychus went to sleep and fell out the window. There's an interesting book written about preaching that is entitled Saving Eutychus, which I hope to do today. But on that day, it says about that day in Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered to break bread. What does that mean? We were gathered to observe the Lord's Supper, and we were gathered for preaching. It's the first day of the week. Paul, when he's giving instructions about the collection for the saints, he just takes this kind of in stride. in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Why does he say that? Because that's when you gather. And that's when alms are given, the first day of the week. The term Lord's Day we see in Revelation, the first chapter, when the Apostle John was worshiping the Lord. It says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. It was established in the very earliest days of the church to worship on the Lord's Day. We read from Ignatius of Antioch, who was a student of John and died at perhaps either the end of the first century or very near the beginning of the second. He said this, no longer observe the Sabbath, but direct your lives towards the Lord's Day, on which our life is refreshed by Him and His death. So when you think about that, and it's no longer the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day, although we could call it the Christian Sabbath, do you see how Paul could write to the Colossians that the Sabbath is a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ? He isn't saying, let's just cut out, like a Thomas Jefferson kind of thing, let's cut out a part of the Bible and throw out the fourth commandment. He's saying, no, the Sabbath, as the Sabbath, is fulfilled in Christ. Now it's the Lord's Day. As B.B. Warfield put it, as he so often does in one sentence, Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with him and brought the Lord's Day out of the grave with him on the resurrection morn. And so the fourth commandment is still binding on the church. We still are commanded by the Lord to work 7 days and rest and worship on the seventh. Work 6 days and set aside one of seven to worship him. So what are the applications of this commandment? Now, here's a really mysterious application. You'd never figure this out. Keep the Lord's Day holy. Pretty complicated, right? But that's not so easy in our day. More and more, our increasingly secular culture treats the Lord's Day as merely any other day. I remember even not that long ago when you would never get telemarketing calls on Sunday. Now there's virtually no distinction. It's just another day. And sadly, in many of our self-professed Bible-believing churches, this is how it's become. Our culture puts enormous pressure on us to focus upon self, not God. And so this is a day where we can sleep in, where we can work, or we can shop, or we can catch up on our stuff. That's how we tend to think of this day. And it's true that God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. But this fourth day, this fourth commandment still remains as a Sabbath that is for our good, but it's a Sabbath unto the Lord our God. Now I understand. Part of the pressure in our day is, in our culture, is that jobs are scarce. And for many, it's increasingly difficult to find a job that doesn't require working on some, if not most, of the Lord's days. I understand that. And I know, David, I understand that. Brian's got another job. Mr. Lane. And we understand that there are works of necessity. There's health care. Well, we have an EMT. And I would be glad that if I were having a heart attack on Sunday morning, that Casey might be working that and come to help me. So we understand that. But that doesn't mean that we can't pray for brothers and sisters that are in situations like that, that if possible, that can be brought to a minimum, and that whenever possible, they can be to observe those days. And that in general for us, the obstacles that we have that can get in the way of observing this Lord's Day that any of us can see removed by prayer and rudimentary godliness, that those things would be removed. What's one of the obstacles that happens often in the Lord's Day observance? Why, people are just tired. But what happens on Saturdays with many people? We wear ourselves out. And we don't have to work on Saturday. And so we stay up late Saturday night, maybe watch a movie. We're worn out and can hardly wake up on the Lord's Day. Is that a biblical observance of the fourth commandment? When this command is to regulate all of our time. Pray for those who are facing challenges or obstacles in observing this day. The Lord would strengthen them and us to meet challenges and overcome the obstacles. Prepare for the Lord's Day. Think about what the Lord's Day is and its significance and the blessing God has in store. I know that the Lord's Day can often be associated with a lot of legalism, and this is the second point I want to make. But I want to encourage you to refuse legalism by delighting in the opportunity the Lord's Day affords. Now, I've struggled with legalism. I used to pastor a church in another denomination that was pretty legalistic about the Lord's Day. And I can remember Sunday afternoon, Sabbath afternoon, it was called. One of my sons was out by the garage bouncing the basketball on the cement on the Sabbath. And you know what happens when you bounce a basketball on cement in front of a garage? It goes kaboom, 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 and you can hear it like three blocks away. And I was sitting in my home study before the evening service, and I saw at the corner of my eye one of the elders walking toward the church in this little community. And I thought, oh no, what is he going to think of me? So I had to rush out and get my son in. And I was really convicted later about the fear that I had of man and of nothing else. How do you overcome the ideas of, well, not doing this? Should I watch football? Should I turn on the TV? Is it ever right to go out to eat and so forth? Isaiah 58 is the biggest help to me. In this passage, the Lord says, call the Sabbath a delight. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath and doing your own pleasure, if you stop thinking about your own business and also stop thinking about all the things you can't do, and you delight in the Sabbath, in the holy day that the Lord has given you, then you will find true pleasure. What I mean by that is to delight in the opportunities that this day affords you and me, that God has given us on this day freedom from the daily grind, when we can cease the labor. And even though work is a calling, it's also sweaty and frustrating and difficult. And for some of you, you have very difficult jobs. And what a blessing to be able to have a day off from that. A day to come with saints, brothers and sisters who can hear you, your requests, and know you and pray with you. To have fellowship together with His people. To worship Him. To use this day as a time when we can enjoy hospitality one with another, to enjoy time with family, of reading, and yes, resting physically. I take a nap most Sabbath afternoons, Lord's Day afternoons. I have to. I get too old to not do that anymore. The time to read. You see the point? This can be a time where we're set free to enjoy the Lord and to glorify Him and do so with His people. We can even do things like deeds of mercy. We could even evangelize on the Lord's Day. You see, when you concentrate on the things you can do and delight in the Lord, you see how that overshadows the legalism, or ought to? What a gift God has given us. Just a couple of other things real quickly. Third point, the commandment reminds us to redeem all of our time for God's glory. The commandment speaks of 7 days. And we ought to think of how we use the time entrusted to us as stewards. We are called to redeem the time, to make the best use of it. Christians are called to be people of industry, to be faithful and diligent workers. Sloth, laziness, wasting and squandering time, being merely couch potatoes. How does that glorify God? I'm not saying that there shouldn't be time for rest. God calls us to have a balanced life of work, of rest, of exercise, of good diet and nutrition. I sinfully resigned a pastor at one time because I didn't understand the necessity of taking vacations. I was so worn out and discouraged that I just thought I just couldn't do this anymore. So trust me, I understand rest and refreshment is important. But you and I are called, regardless of our stage in life, whether we're elderly or young, whether we're at work or retired, whether we're the breadwinner, a housewife or a child, all of us are called to do useful things with our time. When we're older, we can't go out on the work job like we used to, but we can spend time praying for one another and reading things. You see, whatever part of our lives. Fourthly, just an encouragement to renew your commitment to worship the Lord, not just on the Lord's Day, but to every day, privately, in our homes and family worship, as well as on the Lord's Day. But this, and is the last thing, I just want to close with this. The most important application of this commandment is so wonderfully put in Heidelberg Catechism in the last phrase. What does God require in the fourth commandment? Second, that all the days of my life I rest from evil works. Let the Lord work in me through His Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The most explicit and most important Sabbath principle is this. Cease from your works and rest in Christ. To understand that our flawed, sinful, self-righteous deeds, our ways to find approval in and of ourselves, will never make us right with God. Sabbath rest is making Christ the center of who we are and relying upon Him alone for salvation as He's offered in the gospel. It means ceasing to find approval and righteousness in our own deeds. It means we stop doubting God's promises and start trusting the spiritual hope and vitality and forgiveness and rest that is found in Him alone. Keeping Sabbath means we give up on ourselves and give ourselves over to God. And so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Do you rest in Him for your hope of eternal life? You can't do anything to contribute to your work, to your forgiveness and being accepted by Him. The Sabbath reminds us that our rest eternally is through faith in Him alone. May God especially bless that in our lives as we think of this commandment. Let us pray.